Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mandalorians, droids, and Tusken Raiders, welcome to another excellent episode of The Completely Mental Misadventures of a Thrift Store. I am Matt Lehman, the owner of Finders Thrift in La Quinta, California, where our stories are housed and recorded. With me, as always, to my left, your right, is the ever-popular and glorious Doobie.
What's up, everybody?
How are we doing this week?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. First of all, there's something that's been bugging me since the last episode, which has been several weeks since I've edited. We talked about your $30 unit, and we talked about my $540, but I hadn't really gone into my $540, which is what we'll do today. But with your $30 unit, I had asked you questions of what made you buy it, how much did you pay, and why did you buy it? And you explained you bought it because it had the blue fishing tackle box in it. And then I randomly interrupted you about having moments in storage units about things with my grandmother and never got back to the point of it, which is, what did you find in that unit and was it worth it?
So, definitely worth it. Again, it was $30. There was a trash can in the back that you couldn't really see in the picture that well because of the shadow that had a bunch of power tools and a nice laser level in.
Ooh.
So I already sold a drill for $50, sold the level for $50. And I probably have another $300 worth of tools to get rid of.
That's awesome. I don't do well with tools. I don't. We didn't really talk about this a whole lot. For those people that do not do storage units, or that are just listening to this for the entertainment value, people that buy storage units tend to have their markets, what they like to deal in. For me, it's records and weird things. Doobie goes for tools. And the people that go for tools go for tools because they have a much better market for them. If I put them in the shop, I've got to put them low price, and I end up getting much lower prices for them. I just don't have the market. People don't come into my shop looking for tools. Same thing is like if there's a storage unit that opens up and it's full of records, you're pretty good bet that I'm going to buy it because I've got the best way to resell it, and I know how to sell it for top dollar. A lot of the other people don't have a record store, so they're going to sell them at swap meets, and they're going to have to lowball them. So everybody has their niche markets, and mine is not tools. So I'm always excited and interesting to hear tools that sell because they just don't. I usually end up selling them online for box lots because I get more. I actually get more for them as box lots on eBay with eBay fees than I can in my store. That's how bad it is selling them in my store. So tools, anything else?
There was some pool equipment, but it was pretty trash, so just dumped it out.
Like billiards pool or
no? Like pool cleaning. Swimming.
Okay. Yeah, that's not surprising out here in the desert. Everybody has a pool or has a pool cleaning business, one or the other. So cool. Okay, so anybody that missed all that, I'm sorry that I interrupted Doobie and never or that I went off on some tangent and never got back into it. So to continue on with those units. I got one that same time for $540. Now, to break that down to you, realistically, I'm somewhere in a neighborhood north of $700 on that because I paid $500. It was off of treasure, storage treasures, which they charge a 15% buyer's premium. So there's another $75. So I'm already over $600. Do you do the premium on storage treasures?
Depending on how much the unit is, I'll opt for the monthly membership.
Oh, you are a smart cookie. I've thought about that and never really done that. And I thought about it and I have to. So it's a monthly service fee that they charge. If you join their monthly club, then you get, it's 10% buyer's premium. So you save 5%. So yes, if the unit is expensive, and that would have been, it would have behooved me to do that at the time. But at the same time, I don't necessarily know if I'm going to buy that unit. So I'm kind of like, one way or the other, I'm getting screwed some way. So I'm in it at that point, 620, somewhere in that neighborhood. Sometimes I'll pay tax on it. I have a reseller's license. It depends on the facility. I think I pay tax on that. It's irrelevant. I'm paying tax on it one way or the other. Just a matter of if I'm paying it first or last. And I prefer to pay it first. But and then I have dump fees and gas and all that. So I'm north of 700. Now, when last we left that unit, we thought it was going to be a major score. Furniture was going to be beautiful and all of that. I actually thought that it would just be me taking a wheelbarrow to a bank and having them fill it up and me coming home. I really thought it was not going to be I knew it was a larger unit, but I didn't think it was going to be the monster that it was. It ended up being absolutely everything that we talked about in last week's episode. Everything. All the negatives and all the positives of buying online. First and foremost, I misjudged it greatly. I thought that it would probably be a load of furniture. I'd come home, drop it off in the garage, and then go get a load of boxes and be pretty much done with it. Maybe one dump run at most, or if I needed to, I could take furniture to Goodwill, which was right down the street from that facility. That was not at all what happened. Again, this was about a couple weeks ago, so it was still 110 outside. So first of all, at that facility, you can't get in early, or I would have gone and paid and then just come in at 6 in the morning and done it and then been to work. But you couldn't get in without a gate code, and they wouldn't give you a gate code because you're not a tenant. So I had to get there at 9, so I'm already late in the day to start. They open the unit up, and I start looking around, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm in so much trouble. The couches that I thought were mid-century modern leather, I thought they were white mid-century modern leather. I thought there were two of them. There were actually three of them. They were actually blue, and not a light blue, a dark blue. They were microfiber, and one of the things I said that I always don't like about online storage is you can't smell a unit. They had dogs, and they had lots of dogs. I found the cremated remains of, I lost count at 7 dogs. So there were at least 7 cremated remains. No, there's 9 because I found 2 a couple days ago. So there was at least 9 cremated remains of dogs. And their dogs enjoyed their couches. So the couches were gone. The top table, there were 2 dining room tables, one on the bottom, one on the top, which also you couldn't see because they were behind the couches were 6 and 6, so 12 chairs for the tables. And the top table went to the dump. It was pretty trash. The bottom table I still have. It's in pretty decent shape. There were 2 desks underneath all of the boxes, and then walls and walls of boxes, the rocking chair. And it ended up being 2 loads to the dump, 1 load to Goodwill or Angel View, and me getting yelled at by the manager and them not taking my stuff because she said it smelled like cat urine. And I said, it doesn't smell like cat urine. It smells like wet dog. I said, there's a difference. We have 10 cats and a Great Dane. I know the difference. No, so they wouldn't take it, which I was like, all right. They were in pretty good shape. They just needed to be aired out from being in a storage unit. But whatever, it is what it is. So I ended up having 2.5 dump runs and 2 loads to the house. And it was a lot of work, a lot of work. Now, having said that, it was also, once I got it all loaded, was the most fun unit I have had in a very long time. If you don't follow my Instagram page, it was chock full of my childhood. There was nothing but toys in, 6 of the totes were nothing but toys. Mostly G.I. Joe, there was some He-Man, there were some random toys. There's also a Megatron Transformer in the box, original, the G1, and that's online right now. That's on eBay. That'll actually end about the time this airs. It'll end Sunday at 6. It's an eBay auction. I put it as an auction because the box is kind of trash. I didn't know where it would fall. There's also something in there. If you saw on the Instagram, it's a Mego toy. Mego is a pretty big toy company in the 70s. They did a lot of Star Trek and weird stuff. They were notorious for making toys that were... they had the rights to the characters, but their toys were just horrible. They didn't look anything like the characters. They just were bad, crappy toys, but everybody loved them because they were the only ones that got like rights to Star Trek and stuff like that. What I have is a pair of Muhammad Ali boxing gloves, kids boxing gloves, with the original box. Again, the box is a little trashed, and it's Muhammad Ali sitting there. He's got his arm around this kid, and this kid's getting ready to put these boxing gloves on with this big, big smile on his face. It's a great box. They don't exist. They're unicorns. I called, if you Google search them, one picture comes up, and it comes out of the Mego Museum. So I contacted Mego Museum and said, hey, what do you know about these? They said, how rare are these, and do you have any idea what they're worth? They actually got back to me a day later and said, look, we can't really give you a value on those. They said, because there are just no comps to them. They just don't ever come up. He said, unfortunately, it wasn't a big seller for Mego, and they're not highly desirable. However, they are extremely rare for a Mego toy. So I read that as they're not necessarily great in the toy market, but those collectors that collect Mego will have to have them. So I posted it on eBay. I started it at $200. We'll see what happens. I don't have any bids on it right now, but I have 15 to 20 watchers on it, which is pretty big for an auction. But I suspect it's going to go crazy at the end. If you want to watch it, you can just type in Migo Muhammad Ali boxing gloves. They're on eBay. It's the only one, so you'll know it's there. I'm the only one that has them. There were also, what other? Oh, tons of, like I said, G.I. Joes. There were a lot of GoBots. He didn't have a lot of Transformers, but he had a lot of GoBots. I sold the Rocking Horse. So I sold quite a few of these things out of it already. I've already, without the eBay auctions, I'm already probably close to even, and I haven't started selling the G.I. Joe stuff. Most of the G.I. Joe action figures that are rubber bands on the inside that hold them together have kind of disintegrated, and I just ordered them. They actually just came in the mail. So once we're done recording, I'll probably start doing my MASH triage work on G.I. Joe action figures and get those up and running. But he has some pretty rare G.I. Joe action figures in there, like first run Cobra Commander, which they changed his image 4 or 5 times over the years, and I have version 1.5, which is fairly rare. What else was in there? 12-inch Luke Skywalker. He was from the 90s. There's also a $6 Million Man, 6-inch. Just all sorts of really, really cool toys. That was about it. Oh, going back to what I was saying, everything that happens in the storage unit, I also found ammunition. I found belts. I knew that I wouldn't find a gun. One of the first things I found was a police, like a really old police utility belt, and something else that was police issued. And I knew at that point I wouldn't find guns in there, because police officers are not stupid and they do not store their guns in storage facilities. There was ammunition, so I am still par for the course. I have found ammunition in every unit and still no guns. Everything in there, so again, almost all of the furniture went to the dump except for the dining room table and a couple, and I still have the two desks, but I cannot sell desks to save my life. Like even my Mexico resellers won't take them. They're like, no, I don't. I said, you can have them for $20, and they're nice antique desks. They're like, no, we don't want them. They don't sell. So didn't do that. Also in that unit, I found cash, but it wasn't much. I found, I think it was $10 in $2 bills. So I found 5 $2 bills. And that's pretty much where that unit is. And so before we forget, again, if you follow my Instagram, which you definitely should, finders_thrift, there's a picture that I posted a couple days ago that says, what is the most valuable thing in this picture? And it's just a mountain of toys, including some Sky Strikers from G.I. Joe. There's a Jabba the Hutt action figure. There's a $6 Million Man, Luke Skywalker. A lot of very interesting toys from the 70s and beyond. But the most interesting or the most valuable thing in there was none of the toys, and that was the hint that I gave. I said that I almost threw it away. I actually did. I put it in the trash can, and then I said, you know what? Just for shits and giggles, I'll look this up. What it was is that helmet. It's the blue helmet in the top corner. It's actually, I said it was a Hobie helmet, but it's not. It's a Cooper helmet, and I think I said it was a skateboarding helmet. I think it's actually a hockey helmet. They are apparently pretty rare, but you can see it's styrofoam. So I can't imagine them using it. I guess it's probably a hockey helmet, but it's not in great shape. And they sell all day long on eBay for over $100. In fact, I listed it this morning thinking, well, $130 and I'll take offers, and anything up around $100, I'll take it. I listed it for $130 and it sold in under 5 minutes. So that means that I screwed up and underlisted it. There was one that had sold for somewhere in the neighborhood of $350, but it looked more like a leather helmet, and it was in much, much, much better shape than this. And all the rest of them were right around $120. And there were blue ones, and everything in there said that I think it was somebody that maybe they just don't come up very often, so he just jumped on it as opposed to putting an offer in, or maybe I was way low on it. I don't know. But anyway, you slice it. $130 for a styrofoam and plastic helmet is a pretty solid deal. I'll take it. The only thing with that is I may be wrong. The Jabba the Hutt playset, it has Jabba the Hutt. I don't have Salacious Crumb, but I have the whole thing that he sits on that Luke Skywalker drops down into. That may end up being worth more only because it's the very first version and it's a very rare early version made by Lilly Letty, which I'm not quite familiar with, but I noticed that on eBay, anything by Lilly Letty Star Wars tends to command monster prices. Like there was a Jabba the Hutt Lilly Letty that sold for $380 or something like that. But then there was also one that sold for $70 or $80. So I'm not sure. That'll end up as an auction on eBay as well. And I'm getting a little leery of doing auctions because if you know anything about their algorithms, you don't want to have a lot of traffic and not a lot of sales. You want just the opposite of that because eBay considers that to be a successful and a well-functioning store. So the problem I'm having with the Mego boxing gloves and the Megatron is I'm getting tons and tons of views, and I'm not bringing in a lot of sales. I'm getting a couple bids here and there, but it's really hurting my biometrics. I've noticed my sales on eBay have dropped a little bit over the last 3 or 4 days since it's been up. So I probably won't do a whole lot of auctions. Problem is with those things, I don't know what the market for it is because they don't exist. So, but those were the joys of that glorious, glorious storage unit. I don't know. I'll keep you posted on anything else that's in there. Oh, I do have a pretty good story. The best part of that storage unit is I got to take revenge out on a customer. And this is going to make me sound like a bad business owner, but bear with me and you'll hear the whole story. I had in that lot were also a ton of Tonka trucks. I don't know if you saw the pictures of the Tonka trucks. And they're fairly rare ones. Like they were a stretch van. They were the Jeepster with the boat and the trailer and a couple of farm equipments and stuff like that. It's stuff that you don't see normally in Tonka trucks. I have a customer that comes into my shop and has been coming in my shop for quite a while. Let's call him Vincenzo. We'll go with Vincenzo. I like that. Vincenzo is a toy collector, and he's a very adamant toy collector. Like, if he sees something that he needs or wants, he literally starts shaking. His hands will start shaking, and he gets, like, really freaked out. And I'm not kidding. He really does. He will buy almost any toy in any condition that comes in. The problem is he will lowball the crap out of you. If you have $20, if it sells for $50 online all day long and you have $25 on it, he's willing to give you $10. And for the first couple years that I was open, I would tend to give him pretty good deals. And I understand that's my fault, but he would buy stuff and he would buy it in any condition, so I knew it was a quick sale there. Then he would buy Tonka trucks that were completely rusted out, and if I can get $5 or $10 for a Tonka truck that's completely rusted out that he's going to part out, okay, great, I'm fine with that. But it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and lowball. And we finally went at it one day because my mom had sent out all of my childhood toys that she didn't want in her house anymore. So all of my G1, Transformers, Star Wars toys, Bill and Ted, Excellent Adventure, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all that stuff, she sent out to me. And I put them, if you've ever been in the shop, they're on the top shelf of the shop. They run around the outside of the shop. And he came in one day and freaked out, and he wanted to buy them all. I was like, look, they're not for sale. And he picked out a couple specifically. He's like, I got to have that. I was like, you're not getting it. And he's like, I got to have it. And I was like, look, Vincenzo, here's the problem. Why would I sell to you anyway? He's like, what do you mean? It's like, you always lowball me. So I have no need to sell to you because, number one, they're my toys, so I have sentimental value, so I'm not interested in selling. And number two, if I were going to sell them, you're the last person I would sell to. So he got a little twisted and a little hurt and stopped coming in. He used to come in about once a week, and now I see him maybe once every 3 or 4 months. Now, Caitlin may see him more. Caitlin is the girl that works with me or for me. She's also, if you've seen any art, she's Cannibal Teeth on Instagram, and her art is fantastic. She's brilliant and amazing. So she may see him more than I do. I don't know for sure. But so he came in the other day, like, ironically, he's not on my Instagram or anything like that. And he doesn't even have Instagram, I don't think. Ironically, he came in the day after I put all those Tonka trucks out. I had already sold the van and two of the other pieces. And he came in, and first thing you saw when you walked in the shop with the Tonka trucks, they were right there by the door. And he started shaking and freaking out. Oh my God, where did you get these? Why didn't you call me? You're supposed to call me. And I was like, Vincenzo, why would I call you? And he's like, what do you mean? And so I got to take my revenge. I said, well, if you like those, you should have seen the ones I already sold. He's like, you had more and you didn't call me? And so I pulled out the Instagram picture. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh my God, did you have that van? Is it still here? Did you sell it? And I was like, oh no, the van's gone. He's like, I have been trying to find that van for 20 years. And I was like, oh man, that totally sucks. So he's like, why didn't you call me? And he was completely upset. And I said, look, Vincenzo, again, why would I call you? I said, you lowball me on everything, and I have no need to call you on these because I know they're rare and I know that everybody wants them, so I wouldn't call you ever. He's like, well, you need to not think like that. That's not how I work, and I'll pay. I'll pay your full asking price. I was like, oh, I know you're going to pay my full asking price because I'm done at this point playing with you.
So he ended up buying the rest of them, and he paid the asking price. But he actually weaseled on the price because I had him at 20, 25, and
25, and so that's $70. But he thought they were 20, 20, and 25, and he's like, and I said, well, they're $70, and he's like, well, the price on them 65, but I'll pay your 70. I'll pay your. He's trying to make it sound like he was doing me a come up by giving me the extra $5, and I went over and pointed. I was like, no, they're actually 70. So he paid them, and then he came back in this morning because I told him I'd put a box of stuff together. So I put a box of all the toys that I wasn't interested in dealing with, and there were some pretty cool things in there that I knew that he'd be interested in. And I said, you could have the whole thing. And he loves Matchbox cars, and I had two boxes of Matchbox cars. I was like, whole thing, $100. And he started giving Caitlin a whole lot of grief about it, which I knew he would, and I told her. I was like, just don't take any crap from him. Tell him if he's got any issues, he can talk to me. And he's like, well, I'll pay the $100, but I want to make sure that he sells me the Sky Strikers and the helicopters from G.I. Joe. I wanted to make me a good deal on the G.I. Joe stuff. And I told her, I was like, just tell him he's not getting the G.I. Joe stuff. It's not for sale in the shop. I'm sure I'll see him this weekend because I know he wants them. But he's not going to get them.
I may show him. I pulled out the
Tonka Jeepster and the boat because they come together. But at the time, I didn't have the trailer. So I pulled him. And this is a tip for all of you people. If you have toys or anything that is missing a piece, don't sell it until you've gone through the entire unit, because invariably you're going to find that piece and then you're screwed. And I actually, it's taken me, I don't know, 15 years to learn that, but I'm slowly still learning it. I held them out because I thought that I might find the trailer, and lo and behold, I did find the trailer, so now I have the complete set. So I might show that to him just to twist him a little bit. And it's the rare red one. It's so rare, it's red! So that's it. I got to even them out. And just so you don't think that I'm a complete jackass with my customers, I'm a firm believer of everybody should be treated equally until they prove that they can't be treated equally. I don't necessarily believe that the customer is always right. I believe that they should be given a chance, but a lot of times they're just out to screw you. And this guy is always out to save a dime, which is, I guess, is okay. But if you're out there hustling and reselling, just know that the people you're buying from, if you keep lowballing them and keep lowballing them, you don't end up on the top of the food chain. You're on the bottom of the food chain. And sometimes that's way more important, because if he'd have actually been a good buyer from me for the last 5 years, if he had ponied up real prices, and I'm not asking top dollar on him, but if he ponied up good prices and not lowballed me on everything that he wanted, then he would be my toy guy. I would totally call him, and he would have. I would have sold all of this stuff to him fairly cheap, just so I didn't have to deal with it. I'd have kept the Mego and the Megatron and a couple other things, but all the G.I. Joe stuff like that, I would have absolutely given him a steal on it. But so that's a tip for you if you're reselling. Make sure that you're fair with your sellers so you can stay. That's the ultimate goal, is to be on the top of their food chain so that they call you first, because then you find the real scores. But he is not. He's on the bottom. Do you deal with the same sellers over and over again, or do you tend to deal with just online stuff?
Mostly online, but I have certain people that when I have their stuff they want, I call them first.
What do you have? Who do you have? Because I always like to see who people have in their pockets. I have my Mexico resellers. I have certain groups for records if I know that I have a genre of music, then I know that I'll call these people first. I have silver buyers. I don't sell gold in the shop, so other than that. And I have other things too, like artists. I know if I find something funky, I'll call my artists that want to break it apart for pieces. So who do you have? Who do you have in your pocket?
First and foremost, I have the world's best record guy.
Who is it? I want his name. How dare he?
But no, I have a tool guy for my higher end tools. And he'll pay up.
Do you have any clothing people?
I do not.
They're tricky. I lose mine quite frequently. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just a hard market. And it's also hard to find exactly what they're looking for. You know, like I know several people that will buy any kind of vintage clothing if it's the right thing. But the problem is if it's the right piece, then it's very easy to sell. So why am I going to sell it to you for $4 when you're going to turn it around for $200? I could put it online for $75 and sell it tomorrow. Books? Do you have a book buyer?
I do not, and I need one desperately.
I have a couple of people that will go through books, depending on what they are and what you're asking price of. The problem is if you're buying books, you're selling them pretty cheap because nobody really wants to pay a lot for them because they're going to do what anybody else does is list them on Amazon and list them on there and just let them sit there.
And I do have an antique sewing machine guy, believe it or not.
That doesn't surprise me. Those are pretty easy sells out here. They're pretty easy sells generally because their antique sewing machines are very well built, and they will. My mother was a seamstress for many years, and I actually can sew. I was going to be doing some sewing today. I haven't gotten around to it, but I'm making. You'll see it later. I'm making a cat bed, but those sewing machines are good because they will sew leather, they will sew denim, and they will sew almost any real fabric. Whereas a current sewing machine will not sew that stuff. It just doesn't have the oomph for it. But an antique sewing machine guy is good to have. Those are pretty easy to sell, but anybody else?
I have a furniture lady.
Really?
Doesn't nice. Buy everything, but she stages houses.
Oh, nice. So does she, what does she do with all of her, she must have storage or something.
Yeah, she stores it.
Yeah.
Unless the home buyer wants the furniture with the house they're buying.
That's a bonus for her. Yeah, good score. Interesting. I didn't get anything this week at auctions. Did you find anything?
I bought one last week.
What'd you get? What'd you pay for? What'd you find? And why'd you buy it?
I paid $10. It was in DHS. And I'll pretty much gamble 10 bucks on anything as long as it's not completely trash.
For anybody outside of California, DHS stands for Desert Hot Springs. It also stands for Don't Have Shit, because it's the ghetto of the desert. If you're looking for meth, or if you're looking for someone that is in hiding because they're on the lam, go check DHS. They're probably there.
That's not fair. I apologize to all of the nice, wonderful, beautiful people that live in DHS. There are a few, but there's also a lot of crap up there. So anyway, you paid $10 for the unit.
Yeah, I pulled out two TV stands, some kitchen stuff, as usual. Definitely like two totes full of trash, some random toys and a couple tools, nothing major, probably made a few bucks on it.
Did it look tweakery? Did it look like somebody was living out of it or just ransacked?
Kind of looked a little trashy, but it was 10 bucks and I didn't have anything to do for the day.
I should have got that $5 one that you told me. There was an auction yesterday, 2 days ago. It was in Indio. And it was only, it actually sold without being, or he closed the auction without a sale, and then somebody came up and said, I'll give you $5 for it, and then he opened it back up. And I was in the same boat. He jumped, he closed that auction really fast. I was considering it, but it had a lot of big, chunky, ugly furniture, and the one, which is very scary, the first one up front was some sort of like a TV stand or an entertainment center, and had free written on the glass. Which is usually a bad sign if they're putting free shit in the storage unit. That means they had a garage sale and couldn't get rid of it, put it on the curb, still couldn't get rid of it, and then just threw it in a garage in the dumpster or in the storage unit. Or somebody picked it up off the street because it was free and put it in their junky storage unit. And a couple of interesting pieces of furniture, like a chair and a corner curio cabinet, and two totes. I would have paid the $5 for the two totes because it had a carpet on the top that looked like a Mexican serape rug or something like that, which would have been worth $5, but I didn't want to deal with the other four pieces of furniture that sucked. But after the fact, after he closed it, I was like, I should have bought that. I was lazy on that one.
Well, anyway, so if you guys want to watch, like I said, that Mego boxing glove
auction could be very interesting. It ends Sunday night at 6 o'clock. It's on eBay. So does the Megatron. The Megatron is currently at 130 or 140 bucks, which is impressive. I didn't know if it would bring that much because the box is pretty trashed. But
if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please hit us up on finderslq@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at finders_thrift, Finders underscore vinyl if you're a record collector, and Doobie, D-O-O-O-B-I-E. Check us out, see what you got. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, we always love to hear from you. And if you have anybody that does this and is interested in being on the show, please feel free to drop us a line. We'll figure out how to make that happen. As always, thank you so much for listening. Good luck out there, and happy hunting.
See you later, guys.